this is key. You know, I've seen firsthand how helping others grow, you know, both professionally and personally can be life-changing.
Hey, gang. How the heck are you? Welcome, by the way, to the new and improved Future Proof. So you may have noticed that we've been away for a while, a couple months. In fact, we closed up shop for a little bit while we moved to a new production team here at the podcast. Ever since we launched this thing a few years ago, we were produced by the folks over at Crate Media, and great people. They did just a damn fine job for us. They were exactly what we needed when we needed them. We didn't know the first thing about podcasting when we started things here, Future Proof. And the gang at Crate Media walked us through everything we needed to know. In fact, did most of it for us, right? They did all the heavy lifting. So we could focus on the fun stuff, which namely is bringing you great insights from some of the top thought leaders out there. And so, our eternal thanks to the Crate Media team. But now we've brought the production of this show in-house, and the crack team at Maryland-based Blue Ocean Ideas is now handling the production. So we look forward to working with them going forward. And we took a little bit of time, a little bit of a break while we made that switch. So your production team is brand new, but your host is not. Still me, for better or for worse, at the mic. Bill Sheridan, that's my name. Good to be here. Good to be back. Let's get things rolling again, shall we? And as always, we're going to start with this. This week's show is sponsored by the Business Learning Institute, which delivers competency-based curriculum, courses, content, community to maximize career trajectories and grow intellectual capital for organizational and executive leadership. Hundreds of courses by dozens of instructors and unlimited customization. Find out how the Business Learning Institute can help you by visiting blionline.org. All right, so shutting down the podcast for a couple months didn't mean that I stopped talking to people, right? Au contraire, I kept recording interviews like they were going out of style. And one of the first ones that I did during that break was with my guest this week. He is Anoop Mehta. Now, Anoop, where do I start with Anoop? He's at the top of the food chain in the accounting and finance world these days. Earlier this summer, he took the reins for a year-long stint as chair of the American Institute of CPAs Board of Directors, which is simply great news for the profession, because Anoop is just one of the sharpest, smartest people that I know, and he's going to do great things for us. And those of us in Maryland ought to know, right? Because Anoop is a longtime Maryland CPA and an MA CPA member, former chair, in fact, of the Maryland Association of CPAs Board of Directors, and just the second Marylander to chair the AICPA, by the way. The first was Kimberly Ellison Taylor, a Baltimore native and former MACPA chair. She served as AICPA chair from 2016 to 17. So we couldn't be prouder to see Anoop rise among the ranks of our esteemed profession. And this right now is a great time for all of this to be happening. Anoop is a huge proponent of greater diversity, equity, and inclusion in the accounting and finance world. He's a product of it, as a matter of fact. He's an Indian American who immigrated to the United States in 1972 with his parents, when he was just 12 years old. And so he has followed a path toward a more diverse, equal, and inclusive profession. Not only followed it, really, but he's helping to pave that path as we speak. And make no mistake, we got a long way to go, sure, but we're making progress slowly but surely. According to the Journal of Accountancy, the number of new accounting graduates with diverse ethnic backgrounds to be hired by CPA firms in the United States hit 35% in 2020. That's up from 30% just 2 years earlier. Meanwhile, the portion of ethnically diverse partners in accounting and finance functions at CPA firms doubled over a two-year period from 9% to 18%. These included gains with partners identifying as Asian and Pacific Islander from 4% to 10%. Also, Hispanic and Latinos increased from 2% to 5%, and the number of Black partners doubled from 1% to 2%. So also the number of women who reached the partnership level at CPA firms also jumped significantly from 23% in 2018 to 39% in 2020, and the percentage of women CPAs at firms overall increased from 42 to 46%. So yeah, you know, we're making some progress. And yes, there is still much work to do. And so Anoop is including DEI as one of the areas of his focus this year while he's chair of the AICPA. So we're looking forward to working with Anoop on all of that this year. And we're excited to have him as a guest on the show this week. And I'm glad you're here with us too. Here is my conversation with Anoop Mehta. So Anoop, thanks for being here. I'm still kind of coming down off the high from council earlier this month. And what really kind of struck me was, so sitting in that your kind of introductory luncheon there, and Jackie Brown up front asked for all of your family members who were there to kind of stand up so everybody could see how many folks turned out for Anoop. And it was like dozens of people just kind of stood up all at once. And it just kind of floored me that, I mean, you really got them to turn out for you there for that event. That was pretty incredible. What did that mean to have that kind of support?
Yeah. Well, Bill, first, good morning. Really thank you for allowing me to join your podcast. You and I go way back, and I appreciated so much that you came down to Austin, Texas for the special day. You're a great influencer for the profession. You're a great friend, and I know you've done a great deal for the profession. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
So, yeah, I extended the invitations to quite a few of my family members. I think there was only three people that couldn't make it for COVID protocol. Actually, that was the only reason. Otherwise, they would have been there too. Family has always been a huge part of me, my life. I'm always surrounded. I've always been surrounded by a large family. You know, I talked a lot about growing up in India in a joint family, my grandparents, uncles, aunts, and cousins. I also remember during summer months that all my cousins would come to our house because our house was the central house, you know. Mm-hmm. And there were times we would have 15, 20 cousins throughout the whole summer. So you could imagine the grocery bills. We didn't buy by the pound. We bought by the bushels. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we were all living under the same roof. So this is why family has been important. This is a great environment that I grew up in. And then coming here to the United States, it was great that we, you know, vacationed in my early days with my cousins and family. We grew up, my brother, my sister. We didn't rush to move out of the house when we grew up. And really, that was part of the way that we helped each other out. And then my uncle and my aunt, who are my dad's younger brother and younger sister, when they came to this country, they lived with us for a while till, you know, they were up on their feet. So this is really a great way for us to bond. And so still today, actually, if you look at it, still today, a lot of my family live very close to each other. We meet often. So, you know, in that way, family has always been important to me, and having everyone attend my inauguration really meant a great deal.
Yeah,
I kidded during the luncheon that with this COVID, I wasn't sure how many of the council members were going to show up, so I decided to bring my own crowd. You know, this is why it's very important. And you know, I made sure that I recognized every individual, my family members and friends that came, because I really wanted everyone to know why they are such a huge part of my life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And a lot of ties among that group to directly to our profession too. I mean, certainly your father was one, but there were a couple others there in the crowd who were, you said, were CPAs as well. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. There were, I think, five other individuals that were there that were CPAs, that family and friends. And then I know I didn't talk much about my mom, but, you know, she was in an accounting. She was a teacher by profession, but then she worked in an accounting department for various companies before she retired. So, yeah, she's got that in her blood as well, you know.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I get all of that. I get that.
So, yeah, I mean, it sounds like your side of the family is trying to tackle that pipeline problem all by itself. So
it'd be great, wouldn't it?
That's good news. So so speaking a little bit about that, I want to talk with you a little bit about your agenda for the coming year. I mean, so much of what you'll be doing obviously is going to depend on, you know, current events. You could talk to Tracy Golden about COVID and have a conversation about that. But you've identified going in like three priorities that you'd really like to focus on. And first on that list is helping others to grow professionally and personally. Now, describe for me what that means to you. How do you, and how do you plan on doing that?
Yeah, Bill, thanks for asking that. This is key. You know, I've seen firsthand how helping others grow, you know, both professionally and personally can be life-changing. You know, I could not have been in this position without the help and guidance and people that were really willing to invest their time and energy in my growth. My father encouraged me to get involved in organizations at a really early age. Basically, when he was involved in organizations, pretty much I was part of that, you know. Mm-hmm. So I got involved in community organizations, then in college, involved in student organizations, then certainly, you know, the Maryland Association of CPAs, and then AICP, and so on. Actually, this is the way a part of me, this is the reason I got involved in martial arts back in the early 80s. Just helping, I love teaching, and this all contributed to where I am today. You know, and I tell you, at every step of the way, while I volunteered, there were people there to help me grow. This is why it's so important for me to give back and help others. I've seen so many people in our profession who are willing to help others. We also want to encourage everyone to really raise their hand. And you heard me say that before, and ask for help. You know, we know that everyone benefits from mentorship, no matter where they are in their careers. You know, I did that back in 1991 after a conference, you know, raised my hand and went up and asked how I can get involved in MACPA. And lo and behold, there was somebody there that helped me get into the organization. I love, enjoy speaking to students. As I'm now being invited to speak at different states, you know, their conferences, board meetings or whatnot, I'm really encouraging the states to have some kind of a student engagement program so I can really talk to the students and help create that passion in as much as I have in the profession. Mm-hmm. So I know by helping others grow will help us in our pipeline. It will drive trust and diversity into our profession.
Yeah, it's huge from not only the individual point of view, but certainly the future of the profession as well. Yeah. I mean, that hits on a couple of really important notes. So, yeah. So the next one I want to talk about is one near and dear to your heart, I know, is diversifying that pipeline of new accountants.
Yeah.
And, you know, the profession certainly has made some progress recently in terms of diversity and equity and inclusion. How much more needs to be done and in what areas? Where do you really want to focus in on while you're in office?
All I can say, we still have a long way to go. Mm-hmm. You know, our latest trend reports, I think you've probably seen those, tell us that 44% of ethnic minorities are enrolling in accounting courses. You know, this is encouraging. This is great. But, you know, unfortunately, only 14% are represented in our profession. This shows growth over the years, but it's nowhere where we want to be.
Right.
Sorry about that. My phone's ringing, but apologies. You know, so we need to be reflective of the vibrant and varied people that we have in that make up our community. Mm-hmm. This is why it's important for me to visit high schools, community colleges, and universities, and I'm going to do that. You know, I say we are moving the needle, but it's slow. I would love to see that needle move like a minute hand as opposed to the hour hand. Like I said, we still have ways to go. I mean, I've repeatedly said that AICPA can't do this alone. We need the involvement from state societies, firms, and organizations. We need firms and organizations to recruit from HBCUs. We need educators to continue to promote the profession and encourage minority students to see the endless possibilities that accounting and finance careers offer. And, you know, I talk a lot about Mr. Ed Miller, my high school teacher, really, you know, helping me to see a path in the accounting profession. And then we need people in the profession to tell our stories about how a career in accounting and finance can offer them to pursue any career path, pursue their passion, whether it be in public accounting or business and industry. As for me, like I've never spent a day in public accounting. I've always been in public, private industry. Mm-hmm. So there are endless possibilities, and the way to do it is to tell our story. And when they hear that story, I know people will get excited. The students will get excited about our profession.
Yeah, yeah. Let's hope. And finally, you've talked about this one kind of interests me: the importance of preserving trust in the profession. That seems like a kind of a wide ranging goal. And obviously, everyone in the profession has always kind of talked about this notion of being trusted advisors, and so that's always been top of mind. But what do you have in mind when you talk about that preserving that trust? I mean, where should we start here?
We need to focus on the trust factor in everything we do, whether we're providing client advisory and accounting services, to being CFOs or controllers or in accounting and finance roles in organizations, to providing assurance services. Trust should be in our character, and I talked about it should be in our DNA. And remember, there's a reason why we're called the trusted advisors. I see the profession working to protect trust in everything we do. We've been maintaining trust in audit while, you know, we are evolving in these changing times. That's why I'm really excited about the initiative in creating the dynamic audit solution. This will allow us to use the power of technology to transform the financial statement audit. I think you've heard about that. Our profession is implementing, you know, effective cybersecurity processes and controls. We're really driving, I would say, a new normal in corporate responsibility. You know, we're leading the accountability through the ESG, environmental, social, and governance reporting. We should really start by infusing this at an early stage. The first time someone decides to take an accounting course, or first time someone is exposed to any kind of financial literacy lessons, we need to talk about trust, why this trust is so important in our profession. So, you know, when people think about accounting and finance professional, trust should be the first thing that should come to their mind.
Yeah. Yeah. Great point. I'm kind of curious, Anoop, how was not just this agenda, but I guess your entire journey, kind of journey of service to this profession, how has that changed the way you think about the future of our profession? How should we be thinking about the future of our profession going forward?
Wow. The accounting profession is changing, adapting, and it's been thriving. You know, it has changed dramatically over the years, and the infusion of technology contributed a lot to it. Just imagine 20 years ago, could you have imagined that we'd be advising clients on cybersecurity? Mm-hmm. You know, probably not, right? So similarly, you know, I'm excited about this our space in the ESG reporting. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about the CPA evolution. This is the joint initiative between in AICP and NASPA. This will transform the CPA exam of the future. So this is exciting. It shows that we as a profession are keeping up with the times.
Yeah. And I think it kind of goes back to that whole notion of trust too, because I kind of feel, I'm obviously guessing here, but just past experience tells me that this might be not be the last time that we have to evolve as a profession. There's certainly going to be things that are happening a little further down the road. And while we're going to have to pivot and be nimble doing all that, it really kind of falls up back on that notion of trust, right? And us bringing that foundational element to every new initiative that we take on.
Right. And that's why the CPA evolution, the core plus is so important. That plus part could be evolving in the future, right?
Yeah.
Right now, we're focusing on technology, but that could be something different 5 years from now. But we all need that core, the core competency. And this is why that core plus is so vital. So I'm excited and looking forward to launching that CPA exam in January 2024.
That's fantastic. What do you think? I mean, we've talked a lot about a lot of different items on your agenda here going forward. What do you think the biggest opportunity is for us as a profession?
You know, as I mentioned earlier, I think the biggest opportunity is in the ESG space. More and more consumers are demanding that organizations report on this data in a consistent manner. Today's consumer and workforce is driven by purpose over profits, and we're seeing that. And this is an area that our profession will have the greatest impact. I want this, profession to be looked at 10, 15, even hundreds from now as having led trust and confidence in providing this data in a consistent manner. So ESG space, I think, is the biggest opportunity for us going forward.
Yeah, it's certainly going to be a high profile area to pay attention to. That's for sure. Your advice, Anoop, for young folks just starting their career, taking their first steps into the profession. What kind of advice would you offer to them as they kind of buckle down and get ready to start their careers?
Boy, this is the exciting part for me, to be able to travel the country and talk to students. And I tell you, the future, a future of our profession, this is what's exciting. I talked about that earlier, right? The future is different today than it was probably 20 years ago or 25 years ago. I would not expected us to be so heavily involved in technology, mm-hmm. as we did, as we are today, 20 years ago or 25 years ago. So the future, I am optimistic about the future of our profession. I see our profession continue to be associated with trust. Mm-hmm. I see our profession diverse and inclusive, so diverse and inclusive that we're not talking about DE&I anymore.
Okay. That would be nice.
I see our profession offering many career options that we and we have a strong pipeline. ICR Profession offering many careers that we have a strong pipeline. I see accounting, finance, leading organizations as CEOs, not CFOs and controllers anymore. Mm-hmm. Leading organizations as CEOs. I'm excited about the future of our profession. I tell you, I've gone around already, visited a few states. I've talked to students. I am encouraged. We just need to get more people into the profession. Once they're in it, they know that they're going to pursue the CPA profession. I'm very, very happy to hear them, how passionate they are, but we got to get them there.
Yeah. Once the numbers are there, the sky's really the limit.
Yep.
Anoop, it's been a pleasure. It always is talking to you, but making all of us back in Maryland proud. Congratulations and best of luck with the coming year. I know you're going to do great work, and we'll be cheering you on. So thanks for the time. I appreciate it.
Well, Bill, I appreciate you for conveying the message. I'm not the only one. There's so many people in our profession that if we hear their stories on how they how they got into the profession and what they're doing in the profession, I know listeners would enjoy listening to those stories. And again, we got to tell that story.
Yeah. And everyone's got one to tell. So
yes,
we'll keep hunting for them. Yeah. Yeah.
But all right, Bill, thank you very much again. And thank you for everything you do for the profession.
Great conversation there this week with Anoop Mehta, chair of the AICPA's 2022-23 board of directors. You can find out more about AICPA's leadership at AICPA.org. And you can join us in our efforts to make this profession more diverse, more inclusive by checking out the work of the MACPA Foundation, which is committed to breaking down any and all barriers for those who want to enter our profession, right? Everything the foundation does is in pursuit of a stronger, more diverse professional community. And you can find out more by visiting macpa.org/foundation. And don't forget, this week's sponsor is the Business Learning Institute. The BLI's Future Ready Learning Framework outlines the skills that CPAs need to thrive in the rapidly changing world of accounting and finance. That framework is all about gaining and maintaining deep technical knowledge, along with a strategic skill set. And here we're talking about strategic aptitudes that have been identified as most crucial for tomorrow's CPA. Start mastering these future-ready skills now by visiting macpa.org/future-learning-framework. And that's it for this week. Thanks for joining us, gang. Have a great week. We'll talk to you again soon. Take care.